If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another predictions show with me, Stephanie Chase. Today, I am predicting AEW Double or Nothing with my favorite person from Grapple. It's Benno, and before you worry that we're going to be negative Nancys, Benno is now a new man since his move to Thailand, and it's feeling great. How are you, Benno?
I'm all right. I'm just worried about the pay-per-view on Sunday. Like, it's actually just dawned on me this weekend because I am in Bangkok, and you might see a bit of thunder and lightning going on in the background there. It makes it a little bit more exciting. But yeah, because I'm out here, 7 a.m. I think will be the start of Double or Nothing on Monday, so maybe I'll rethink that. As you know, I don't like to get up too early, and I like to stay up late, mainly to get my podcasting done. It's not just a lifetime habit from wrestling that I've never broken, but yeah, it's going to feel like a New Japan show for us. I guess the Americans don't know what that's like.
Yeah, I know. How's it been on the other side of the world being a wrestling fan?
Hard. I found that I can't watch wrestling live anymore because, like I say, I don't get up. You know me well. I don't get up for like a, you know, a McDonald's breakfast at 11 in the morning is a bit of a harsh cutoff for me. So getting up at I think it's 7 in the morning. Yeah, Dynamite on Thursday mornings. I become what I hate. I'm one of the people who watches it a day after now. Whereas in the UK, we'd be up, would me to like 1 till 3 felt normal. We'd be listening to the, you know, to Wade Keller or whatever post show at like 4 in the morning, and then go off to bed at that point. That's kind of my preferred way of watching wrestling. I don't know about these early mornings, but I'm managing to keep involved and know what's going on. I'm going to a setup pro wrestling show in a couple of weeks. Zack Sabre Jr.'s in the main event. Don't know anybody else, but that should be fun as well. So
that's staying connected. In Bangkok.
Setup of Bangkok, setup pro wrestling.
That's going to be wild to see Zack Sabre Jr. in Bangkok. And you know what? Hopefully we'll see some wrestling together this summer, maybe on the other side of the world when we're reunited. But the last time we did a show together, I'm pretty sure it was Full Gear, and we were in New York, Long Island for Full Gear, right? That was our last show in a little hotel room, sat next to each other. And I don't think we were very positive on AEW, but you know what? I think we're halfway into 2025 now, and there's been some big improvements that we're going to talk about.
You listen to us. That's the difference. No, like, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You're always going to get that, like, obviously when, you know, things are bad or things aren't as good as they are, you know. I think, I don't know whether it's a British and Irish thing. Maybe we come across as moany to the Yanks, but like, I think, yeah, made our bread and butter on it on Grapple about telling about the fall of various wrestling empires. It's kind of what we've always done over there. So maybe I've brought a bit of that energy to AEW as well. But I've been massively into the product this year, and I think especially this last couple of months. We're talking about it on the Grapple Weekend show today. It's not necessarily these individual Dynamites, especially the last two. I don't think they've been, you know, magic as individual shows. There's been magic moments. Hangman and Ospreay had one of the greatest promo battles I think I've seen in wrestling this week with no exaggeration. But it's the overall that I feel so much better about. It feels like those I's are being dotted and T's are being crossed, and it feels like, you know, this pay-per-view, whatever you think of it, you know, the final card, it's been mapped out. Every match pretty much has build. Every match has had forethought. Every match has got stakes or investment, at least to some level or another. So, yeah, I think they've done a really good job getting set up for this. And I think that positivity, maybe outside of the Moxley stuff, and even that's dissipated a little bit, seems to be repeated across this internet space.
The way I see it is there's one man who's been really bringing everything down for me, and his reign of terror continues, but maybe there's an end in sight. And then there's another
or
man.
Or in the last inning. Depending on who turns up at this pay-per-view.
Because you know who I mean. And then there's another man that I absolutely adore and think, and I'm always happiest when he's around, and you know, I'm excited for his match this weekend and maybe what he could do. So yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel. But we're about to get into it. And, you know, sorry this isn't live, guys. The reason it isn't live is because of Elon Musk and all the problems with Twitter today, X and DMing. It just threw everything off. So not a live one. But
yeah, Twitter's been broken the last 2 days or 2 years or however long you want.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we get into it, let's go and hear from our lovely sponsor, betonline.ag, via our overlord, Sean Wassap.
Whoa! Whoa! You can bet on wrestling?
Yeah, you can at betonline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with betonline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag. Thank you as always. Right, Benno, let's get into it. Up first, and I'm going by Wikipedia. So up first, we have Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes Moné. It is the Owen Hart Foundation Cup Tournament Final on the winner's side, and the winner earns an AEW Women's World Championship match at All In. Now, this we had the go home for it on Dynamite, a promo battle between the two of those, I thought Jamie did pretty well, but I still can't really take Mercedes on the mic. But she does always deliver in ring. I think this is my prediction, it's a heart and head thing. I think heart, Jamie Hayter, absolutely. And head, I think Mercedes Moné, because the match at what is essentially AEW's WrestleMania is on the line. But how do you feel about this one, Benno?
Yeah, I think Mercedes goes over. I've been kind of talked in the last 24 hours into the possibility of Jamie Hayter, or at least the possibility of Jamie Hayter coming out of this with maybe a new coat of paint. It feels like, you know, some of the jibes that Mercedes have been throwing her way about the Scooby-Doo outfit and stuff like that felt a little bit on the nose for her to continue in kind of the presentation that she's been doing at the minute. I feel like something's about to change with her. I still don't think she's winning, though. I think most likely it's Mercedes, and I think that's the right call. I think Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné is as big a women's match as AEW can put on, and they've done an incredible job of just keeping them both in completely separate universes. Like, the two title belt, you know, divisions helps you do that, but just in general, they have felt like they've been kept separate, apart from the moments when it's meant something, and when you've seen them on screen together, the AEW crowd have reacted like it's a big deal, and I think it's just a no-brainer to do that match. It creates a bit of a problem that it would be belt versus belt, or belts, yeah, depending on how many Mercedes has got at that point, but it's all in. All in should be AEW's WrestleMania, and there's no bigger match you could put on for this division. I'd absolutely just do it. And you could do maybe something with Jamie in the undercard, or you could do something else. That doesn't mean you only have to have one women's match on All In just because both of the belts are tied up in a big match. Yeah. But I think that's got to be the direction. And yeah, I think this will be a great match. I think the floor on this is about 3.75, and I think the ceiling on it's very high. I could see like a 4.5 to even higher a match for this one. I think this is one that's going to steal the show. I think it'll be a great performance for Jamie, but I do think Mercedes goes over.
I do too. I just feel like I would be braver because Jamie does have a history with Tony Storm that you could pull on. And I would.
That's true.
And I would do Mercedes, Athena at All In, but I don't think I even want to mention Athena anymore because it's just too much of a frustrating situation.
She was back and then she's gone again. I don't know what's going on. Mm.
It's dreadful. But yeah, I think Mercedes as well. But I do agree that it is going to be a really good match. Mm. All right. Up next, we have the Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin with MVP versus the Sons of Texas, Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara for the World Tag Team Championship. Beto, I'll let you start in this one. What chance do the Sons of Texas have?
Less than zero. What are their Bet Online's odds for that one? Jesus, I don't see it. I don't see it any world. I think the bet should be how quickly to Hurt Syndicate win this match. I think that whether they give them a competitive match, because it's, you know, it feels like it doesn't feel like it's in the way of like a Mercedes Tony Storm, where it could be like an Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan thing in a positive way. I don't think that's happening here with the two tag champions clashing. I think it's just awkward that they've got the ROH tag belts. I don't think it has been necessarily planned out. And I think, yeah, the Hurt Syndicate are so many levels above Dustin and Sammy and whatever their team is. They've been in AEW since day one. I mean, there's a lot of people who've been in AEW since day one.
I saw you mention on Grapple that's my thing. I hate that so many people.
That's what he owes. That's what he owes.
Is that they've been here since day one. I'm not.
So is John Silver.
You know,
lots of the roster have.
Yeah, so many of the roster have, and it's a young company. You know, you haven't. Mm. It's not like and it's just so no personality baby face thing. Like it's just awful.
Hurt Syndicate have been brilliant. Like, I love this story. I love this MJF stuff. I think it was almost a distraction this week on Dynamite that we had to depart from our weekly segment to build this match, because there isn't much else of a tag division.
It's a shame that what they're doing isn't something with, you know, MJF in it, or, you know, that it's on the card instead as part of the Hurt Syndicate's, you know, storyline.
It's almost a victim of its own success, because it's one of those, you know, we weren't the first to make the comparison, but it's very clearly similar to Bloodline and Sami Zayn in that you want to see what's going to happen week to week with MJF and the Hurt Syndicate. Yeah. And because people are into it and because people are enjoying the segments, then obviously as a good wrestling booker, you want to look at that and go, well, how long can we actually drag this thing out? And it feels like it's going to be a while. You know, we're getting little bits week on week on the story, but not much in the way of development. But then when the big moments happen, like the big thumbs up moments, they mean so much more, don't they? So that's got to be, because it's working so well, it's got to be the focus. And unfortunately, the tag belts in this match is very much secondary.
I think 100% Hurt Syndicate are going to win. And I agree that they've been great. I just take a moment to talk about Sammy Guevara, because, you know, from since AEW started, my up and down relationship with Sammy Guevara, and how I really like championed him, and then I went totally off him. And I'm just at the point now where I just don't see it ever getting better for him. And I don't understand why he's once again with someone who's old enough to be his dad. And in a pairing that I actually think makes even less sense, even though they are both Sons of Texas. I just don't know why.
What a thing to have in common.
I don't know what this guy's done wrong.
I mean, I know we're British and Irish, but we know Texas is a big fucking place. I'm not sure if that's a good enough reason for a tag team. It's dad and lad, isn't it? It's very much what it is.
That's the equivalent of the British Bulldog and Fit Finlay getting together and calling themselves Sons of Europe. You know, it's that big a place. I mean,
that could have easily happened, you know, League of Nations, that was a thing.
That's true.
Very possible. Yeah, and it feels like he's kind of filling the role of Cody almost. It's very,
I know.
And he's like this mute babyface Sammy, but letting Dustin do all the talking.
The ship has sailed for him in AEW, and that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a future, elsewhere. But he's in that boat where I'm just like, because I feel like if he got out of the Dustin thing, he'd be back at square one again, It's just,
needs a new coat of paint. But what is that coat of paint? I don't think they've invented the color, unfortunately.
No, but I will say, I hope this is a short match just because the Hart Syndicate should continue to show dominance. And sometimes they've had matches that are longer than they should have been, considering how great they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're brilliant. I want to see them go over in a couple of minutes.
All right, up next.
Sorry, ROH.
Up next, sorry, the Women's World Championship. We have Tyler's Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa, who just got announced as being signed to AEW. She's All Elite. Is Mina Shirakawa? Still doesn't mean I think she has a chance. I see Toni Storm taking this one. And I think people are more wondering if the third person in the little triangle that we previously had would be coming back for this, Morai May, who's been on vacation, I guess. Yeah, Toni Storm for me is definitely winning. I'm sure you agree, yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
What are your kind of further thoughts of how this will play out and anyone that we could see come back?
Yeah, I don't think the match will be great.
Shirakawa's
got her limits, and Toni Storm can have good days and bad days. I think it won't be terrible, but it'll be fine. Obviously, if you believe reporting, and it seems that Morai May is on the way out of AEW, unless the wool has been pulled all over our eyes, and she is going to come back, and they are going to make use of her, for the whatever remains of a contract. This would certainly be the place you do it, wouldn't it? If she was going to appear anywhere, it would be here in this story. Yeah, and I think the story itself just hasn't. It's been fine. It's been absolutely fine. It's been good that there's been effort put into a Toni Storm defense of the month, which is essentially what it is. But yeah, it does feel a bit placeholder to get to the next stage, which is probably Mercedes, but could be Jamie Hayter.
I don't think it's been well done, but I do think they kind of had to do it, given Mina's previous involvement, and then with her being with the company
this week, certainly. Yeah, it didn't land on Dynamite this week. Overall, though, it's been fine.
Yeah, I do think when it comes to Morai May and all the talk about her going to WWE, I honestly do hope that she does go, and not for any tribalistic reasons or anything. And I don't even know whether she'd be better off in WWE or not. I just do think it's a very cool thing to just come into a company, never having been a part of a big English language company before, do the biggest women's storyline they've ever had, and then just bow out. It's very Days of the Territory. It's something we don't usually see now. So I do think it'd be cool if she left for her.
It's win-win, I think. I think if she left, it's the strength of that, of coming in. How could you have a stronger run in a territory than what she's at? She came in as a relative unknown, at least to the AEW audience, got over with a particular character, told one big long story with three big matches, and then leaves again. That's boss stuff, isn't it? It is a throwback to the
so
past.
Cool.
Respect her massively if she turns that into a big money deal elsewhere. But I'd still respect it if she turned it into if that interest is shown by the other side, and it turns out that she stays with AEW because she gets a big money offer to stay as well. I think it's win-win, whatever she does.
I think it's win-win. I think if I was her and I was going to stay, I would need really concrete assurances, because there's been, former women's champions that just end up floundering because of the general creative problems when it comes to Tony Khan and women that I'll not get myself canceled for talking about, but he's not the best booker of women. But I think, it's just cool to just before you get steel, before people turn on you or anything, and then we can all look back and be like, remember that cool Morai May Toni Storm, storyline? And it's just a cool throwback thing. But yeah, I hope she does whatever is, best for her financially and personally as well. All right, we have a tag team match here with FTR versus Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness. Benno, I was sat next to you in Wembley when Nigel McGuinness's music hit and you were freaking out. So how do you feel about him doing this random match, teaming with one of my boys, Daniel Garcia, against FTR?
It's another one where, yes, if you ask me a month ago, was this a match you wanted on the next pay-per-view? No, is the answer to that. But I think they put the legwork in again. I think the week-to-week has been solid. I think especially the stuff they've been doing on Collision has been solid. And it definitely feels to me like they're setting something up, whether it be a Nigel turn, because it is a bit odd that he's in there as a babyface right now. It is a bit odd that, considering his disposition when he's on commentary, he's kind of having to play the Pat McAfee, Michael Cole role and be the one standing up for Tony Schiavone and the one standing up for all that is good. It's just not very Nigel, and it's not the best use of him if he's going to be a wrestler. So I think that red herring is right there in front of us all. Unless they're, you know, really pulling the wool over our eyes, and actually, as some people have fantasy booked, Daniel Garcia is going to turn and become a heel, or, you know, maybe it could be Daddy Magic. I've been saying that on our shows. He's like Chekhov's Daddy Magic. Like, people don't... Wrestling is just the way... I think the way you tell stories in wrestling is unlike any other medium, because in another medium, Daddy Magic and Daniel Garcia could just be friends forever, and it could be a little side story within your main story. In wrestling, everything needs to lead to a match. So at some point, I think I'm getting involved in all these segments probably does lead to maybe him turning along the lines as well. So there's kind of three candidates there that makes it interesting and makes it hard to predict. I do think the FTR side go over, and I do think there's going to be a turn. But as to who, maybe Nigel's the lead for me, but it could be any of those three, actually.
I think a turn would make it more interesting for me. You know, when it comes to what we were just saying about Sammy Guevara and my feelings for Sammy Guevara, like, my feelings are much stronger for Daniel Garcia. And I have not been happy at all with how he's been used. He's another person like Sammy Guevara in the little lost boy category that always needs a dad or a big brother with him. And I just hate that. And even, you know, him turning up with Nigel, like, I guess that's cool. It's cool for him to team with someone like Nigel McGuinness, who's a great, and I'm sure someone that he respects so much, you know, because Daniel Garcia was such a good pure champion. So I'm sure he's got a ton of respect for Nigel and his ROH lineage. But at the same time, I just wish they were making Daniel Garcia into the star that they keep promising that they're going to make him into eventually one day. You know, it's just...
Could you turn him heel to do that?
I would only turn him heel if he is going to, like, shed himself of everything. Like, oh, absolutely get rid of Daddy Magic. I can't even tell you when the JAS broke up, but whatever that was, it was a long time ago for him to still be hanging out with one of them, you know. It's so long. So I'd have him, like, totally shed any reminders of that period of his life, you know, like, any reminders of that, and just go back and just be fully, like, serious, like, Red Death character, like when him and Wheeler Yuta were doing good things down in Ring of Honor, and just like reset him, like, do a factory reset on Daniel Garcia. Because I'm willing to pretend that, like, that none of his past ever happened, if that's the best thing for him. I'm willing to pretend I never saw him dance or be in the JAS or hang out with Daddy Magic. Like, I just want so much better for him. Like, my God, I could do a whole video essay about his freaking MJF feud and how all that happened and his contract stuff, but, you know, I won't, because I don't do that anymore.
And you know, I agree with all that, you know, when it comes to, like, Garcia's use over time. But I would say, you know, this is what we've been screaming out for him, to get some proper TV time to flesh out whatever his character's going to be. And the impetus is on him to perform, and the impetus is on the creative to be interesting coming out of this rando tag that makes it all worth it, and to give him something to sink his teeth into. So I'm kind of hopeful that's coming. I just don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, I do give them props for it. It is interesting. So who did you have for your winner there?
FTR, definitely.
FTR, no doubt. Me too. But, like, let's hope there's some drama.
Especially this early in the push too, as a heel team.
For sure. All right, next we have a stretcher match between Mark Briscoe and Ricochet. Who have you got for this one, Benno?
Sadly, like, I am on record as wanting Mark Briscoe to win more matches. and Mark Briscoe to be on more TV, and Mark Briscoe to just get the world. Obviously, ROH fan to literally day dot. What best team of all time? Agree with Sami Zayn is the Briscoe brothers, and it's great to see, you know, Mark shining and people finally catching on to that with him. And I would like to see him get more TV time and win more matches and do more stuff. However, in this scenario, like, Ricochet has just been so good. So good the last few weeks, last few months even, in this heel character. It's been a complete revelation. Like, he made the Zach Gowan stuff over TV the last couple of weeks, like, must-watch TV. He's that entertaining as a heel right now, and you go with that. I'm not even saying you do any more with him either. I think this is the slot Ricochet should be in on AEW shows. He should be in a nice little mid to upper mid-card feud against a nice babyface, a perfect babyface like Mark Briscoe. It's, like, been a perfect foil for him. And he should win more of those feuds than he loses. So I think he should beat Mark Briscoe. I wouldn't rule Mark Briscoe out, especially with the stipulation, with the stretcher. I wouldn't rule out there, you know, some kind of gimmickry. Or Ricochet is so entertaining right now. He would take that material of, you know, being taken out on a stretcher and turn it into a meme, or turn it into like a moment that everybody remembers. I think he could sell it and make it great. But I just think his upward mobility right now in AEW, at least, you know, within the mid to upper mid card, let's not go crazy, is there for all to see. And I think you want to keep a character like that strong. So, yeah, with a heavy heart, I'd say Ricochet.
I think Ricochet as well. I think Mark has suffered from some really bad booking, some really bad stuff towards the end of last year that I'll not retread. And I do wish that he was in a better position and could win, but I wish he'd been booked better in the past, because unfortunately now is the time to book Ricochet well, because he's doing so good. So that's why I'm picking Ricochet as well. I agree with you. It is with like a heavy heart, because I want to see more for Mark, but definitely, yeah, Ricochet.
Yeah. Okay. What's wrong with two strong characters in the mid-card? And yeah, you could do something in another feud with Mark Briscoe. They can go feud with other people. As long as he stays on TV in this type of role, I'll be happy.
For sure. Right. Next, I'm going to go to Okada versus Speedball Mike Bailey for the AEW Continental Championship. I think it's Okada to win here. I think my question is more, do we get vintage Okada or AEW Okada? Like, what can Mike Bailey bring out of Okada? I don't really have much to say like beyond that, other than I have been impressed with Speedball since he's come in. How have you felt?
Speedball has been presented very well. I think they've mostly got him pitch perfect as far as introducing a new character, and he's been a nice bit of fresh blood on the show, especially with Collision with the Extra Hours. I'm no fan of Okada in AEW overall. I think the comedy stuff, it's funny, I laugh at the punchlines, but this is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and I don't think you necessarily have seen that in AEW. Now the moment for us all to see that is the Kenny Omega match. And I think that match is almost going to draw, as like a meta thing, that match is going to draw, and people are going to be interested in that because of the history, because of whether you saw it or not, the legend of their previous matches and the fact that they had those great matches. You're not selling it on cowardly, funny heel Okada getting his comeuppance from Kenny Omega. There are $0 in that. The money is in selling this. Whether they can live up to it or not, as a match to the level of, you know, three of the greatest wrestler matches of all time they had in the past, I think the best way you can sell us on that, and the best way Okada can sell us on that, is not to say bitch to a camera. It's to go up there and have a fucking great match with Speedball Mike Bailey, who is obviously, you know, well up for the task himself. Like, they don't have to be the best match on the show, but I'd love for them to be in the conversation, because that's not been a staple of Okada's AEW run. It's been a bit of a staple of Speedball's, but yeah, I think this is the moment for him to reach in that bag and to be that guy that we all know he is. Just to sell the Omega match, if nothing else, you can go back to the silly comedy and the heel stuff afterwards, but I think we need to get serious with this Okada run, at least for now.
Yeah, I hope that is what this match is for, is to just start bringing out that Okada before he confronts Kenny, because that's what we need to see. All right, then we have the Paragon, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong versus the Don Callis family, Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, and Josh Alexander in a trios match. I hope the Don Callis family win, just because Takeshita, Cal Fletcher, and Josh Alexander are the members of the Don Callis family, and I don't have any positive feelings for the Paragon still. So that's my feeling. Don Callis family.
It's a surprise this has been added to the show, because, like I said before, I think this is a great show to show you, you know, what AEW can do with, you know, four to, what's been 6 weeks, hasn't it, worth of, of good TV to sell a pay-per-view. They've done a great job. This is one of the exceptions. This should be on the pre-show. I'm guessing it's there for Josh Alexander to maybe get a win and set up a match with Adam Cole going forwards in a singles capacity. If it's short, it'll be forgivable, but I think it's the one that everyone, you know, when they wake up, unlike me, I'll be up maybe up early Monday morning, but when people wake up on Monday morning and go, God, I'm tired from last night, I wish there was just one or two less matches, this is prime candidate for your one or two less matches.
I can see it. It's unfortunately a bit of a piss break match. Which
you need that, you know, you depending on what it comes before it, but I don't know. Not when there's this many matches on the card.
Maybe you need it to go in between the two matches we have left to give everyone a bit of a rest, because we have Anarchy in the Arena. Benno, if we were there for the first Anarchy in the Arena, and this time we've got Kenny Omega, Swerve Strickland, Willow Nightingale, and the Ops, Mojo, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Shibata versus the Death Riders, John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Marina Shafir, Wheeler Yuta, and the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson. How are you feeling about this after the end of this week's Dynamite?
It's not for me. The main event we're about to get to is very much for me. I'm excited to wax lyrical about that. I mean, the whole Moxley one is not for me. And not just me. I think most people it's not for. And I'm just not a fan of it's May, so we need to have this match, you know, whatever the match is. It's like when TNA used to do the lockdown pay-per-view. It was always daft. Or WWE did the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It's like, we just need an excuse to get to do this match, because we always do anything in the arena now in May at Double or Nothing. And to get there, you have to do what they've done over the last few weeks of TV. It's been functional and it's got us there. And, you know, they've got a lot of bodies involved and it's good to see the women involved. I think
That's
good,
cool.
Good moment for Willow especially. So that there's your positives. Gabe Kidd presumably is going to be the spoiler on the outside getting involved. It could be a good moment for him. I'm excited for those things. I'm not necessarily as much. Don't get me wrong, the Anarchy Arena first time when me and you were there, like, was probably one of my all-time favorite. It was one of those moments where you watched it live in the building and we were following all the action going on everywhere and running up, like, the, you know, by the popcorn stand and trying to see what was going on and, like, messaging our friends back home, like, is this as good as it feels like it is in the arena? And finding out it actually was. That was, you know, magic in a bottle moments. It really was. It's hard to recapture that. And I think this will be fine. It'll be a fine entry to the genre, but I'm not expecting that level of match. I think it'll be a spectacle. It'll tick a box of doing that match on this show. But I think, again, if you're talking solid booking, it'll be means to an end, because what am I most expecting out of this match? I think the babyfaces are going to win, but it wouldn't shock me if, say, the heels win because Gabe Kidd gets involved. It's set up for either Darby to come back or for Eddie Kingston to come back. And obviously there's been no direct reporting on that, but we were told once upon a time May might be around the time Eddie could come back. You know, Darby's got a long way to travel from the top of Mount Everest, but, you know, it's Darby Allin, so I'd never say never on him turning up on Sunday. I think the post-match is going to be the most notable thing of this. I think it'll be creative. I think the Bucks being in there and the Swerve being in there and Kenny being in there, they'll be coming up with, you know, interesting and cool stuff for it, but... yeah, not a match type for me, but I'm mostly interested in what comes afterwards and who's going to be gunning for Mox coming out of this.
Yeah, I just want the Moxley stuff to end, and I hope this is a means to end. It does feel more now more than ever.
In the 12th inning. Is it 12 innings? I don't know. We don't follow baseball. Then.
God, it's like this terrible dictatorship that John Moxley has had, and like, and I don't think how, in my opinion, bad it's been is like, you know, good enough heat to keep it going. It's just like awful. Like,
it's been acceptable last few weeks, but that's just a step up from bad, isn't it?
I think because
damn faint praise. It's been fine. It hasn't been as bad as it was.
For me, there's been such lows that I Moxley is someone that can't recover for me, like, from this, you know. And you know, like, my predictions for, like, Moxley's future. Like, I like, that's how I feel about him. But you know, he's very into these Anarchy in the Arena matches. Like the first one was his idea rather than doing Stadium Stampede. He, I'm sure, will have some creative things. I think it's very cool that there are women involved. That is a nice little new wrinkle that they've put on it. But I heard the What Culture lads talking about this because at the end of Dynamite, they played that fucking Sum 41 song, the new Dynamite theme over it, which I'm not even going to get into that, that this Sum 41 song.
What year is it?
Jesus, like I don't know. I'm sure.
I bet
like,
you looked. What, did you look down on Sum 41 fans in 2002? Oh, you're a Sum 41
yes.
guy.
Yes. There was no.
I was just giving you an out.
No good vibes.
I knew the answer.
Sum 41 fans when I was when they were around.
You were a young goth.
Yeah, but the song is not good. And so on What Culture, they were saying, you know, are they going to play it during the match? And I'm just like, I hope not. But when the first one, when they played music, you know, Wild Thing, that did feel organic, you know, how it happened and yeah. stuff. Like it was a good right idea. Whoever's yeah. idea it was, good idea. It doesn't have to be repeated every year. And
because it's mine. Do it, yeah. do it when it justifies it. Like, again, it just feels a little bit, we got to team the Elite up with the Moxie lads. And now the Ops are now getting involved. And it's been very obvious what they've been doing to set this
up. Imagine these people that hate each other coming together and not only deciding that they're going to have this Anarchy in the Arena match. Is there then a negotiation, if this is real, between each of them of whose song gets to play?
Maybe.
You know, because like that's what it feels like.
Who gets the Orcs? It's like when you're on like a road trip. Usually, yeah. two when we're going somewhere, you're usually in charge. Although you will put some of my songs
on
there.
Who gets to hook up to the speakers? You know, I just find that so ridiculous. I don't think like I'm kind of just not fussed about Darby going back. It's great that he's climbed Mount Everest, but he's not the man for me. Let's just say I would love to see Eddie Kingston come back. So
you could
much.
Do both.
And
you could
do
Adam Cole, Brian Danielson situation. You know where they both come out.
And Eddie can come back with his gas canister that he had in the first Anarchy in the Arena and just pour that all over the Death Riders and just get rid of that. But I think it will be creative. I'm not sure it will live up to the first Anarchy in the Arena, but
it never will. But I do kind of think, the more we talked about it, as much as I'm not really into the story, even if it's been functional, as much as I'm not really into trying to recapture that magic and do this match again and do it well, the people in it are so good that like they're gonna come up with stuff, aren't they? We're gonna get dragged into this one, and I think we'll end up liking it more than we think.
I mean, for me, especially given everything that's happened, just seeing Kenny in a match like this is awesome, and I'm definitely grateful for him just being around and wrestling again and doing something cool. But so. Are we fingers crossed for a babyface win here?
Yeah, I think so, based on what happens post-match. But yeah, babyface over.
All right, and then let's go to our main event, which is the final of the Men's Owen Hart Foundation Cup Tournament, with the winner earning a world championship match at All In Texas. It is Hangman Adam Page versus Will Ospreay. And as I'm sure you know, the man I've been referring to this whole time is Hangman Adam Page. He's my guy.
I didn't know Jay White.
No, Jade's not on TV. But since the beginning of AEW, I've always been happiest when Hangman's around and in a top storyline. So I thought these guys did such an incredible job on Dynamite that I don't, you can't even go into like how good they did. And me and you are two people that have truly watched Will Ospreay grow up. And as a promo, especially, and seeing him do that was just so fantastic. He's great. Hangman is great. They're both the guy. And I think that what kind of puts me off, the idea of Darby and like this whole lore about how Darby's meant to be the one to take it off John is to look at these two. And I'm like, one of these two should be the guy, but I guess it's just the timing that we're looking into. But as for who's going to win, everyone I've seen has been kind of like divided on this. I would love Hangman to win just because he is my guy and I want him to win. And I would love us to be in the Hangman Page era, and I would love his arc that was never properly completed to be him destroying an ex-WWE guy, like how he, you know, at first match lost to an ex-WWE guy and they never completed that arc when he won the title. What if he takes down another ex-WWE tyrant, you know, that's running mad on AEW? That would be so cool. But I just feel like with how great Ospreay has been, that he's probably going to be the winner. But then I think, well, it's all in Texas. And Will Ospreay is probably being saved for All In at Wembley, maybe. I honestly don't know. And then it could just be that neither of them are going to be the man that's going to, you know, take it from John Moxley, because it's meant to be Darby Allin. So who knows? But I do think it's going to be, if this match is as good as their promo, then we're looking at like over 4 stars.
Yeah, and I think the floor is very high. The floor might even be that. I just can't see it being worse than that because it's these two. And yeah, like, I'd share your praise of the Dynamite segment. Like, I was already into this. I think the fact that they ended the Owen when they did, and I've had all these weeks of TV to build this up and make it feel more important, has added to it. I was already into the match going to this week's Dynamite. The way they've told the story, everything you just said there about all the reasons both of them could and should win this, but kind of laid bare on TV by both of them in character. The reason Hangman's such a great promo is you just believe he's talking. He never feels like a character. He always feels like that just must be what he really feels like. And the way he laid his heart on his sleeve was incredible. Ospreay's performance was world class as well. You know, like they said in the promo, it was more like professionally he wants to win. He wants to bring the belt back to the UK. They both made their cases so brilliantly that I want to see either now. But I'm definitely more interested in the match, and I can't wait to see the match and to see which direction they go. I think I'm with you in that I think it will be Hangman. I just think, yeah, he's a better fit for All In this year. I actually also think he's probably going to lose. That's not great. Get there when you do that prediction show, but I just think Moxley will eventually lose to Darby. I think Tony Khan is tied to that plan. And if Kingston comes back, then they've got that option too with Mox. I mean, they should.
I wouldn't mind if Kingston was the one to vanquish Moxley. Like, I wouldn't mind.
I'd be fine with that.
There you go.
It should still be the All In main. I mean, the All In main event should be one of these two against the man, I think. They'll book their way out of it, whatever it is. Maybe Ospreay, though. Ospreay loses a lot of big matches. Maybe too many.
I just, even though maybe it hasn't been as bad, I can't take this Moxley thing any longer. And because it's been something that has held the company hostage for so long, I think he has to lose it at All In. And these two are the guys that it's going to be against one of them at All In. So I just take the fucking belt off him now, because what better time to reset than after like a big stadium show, even though of course, like, they've tried that, you know, many times. But I feel like they want to give Ospreay a crowning in the UK, and Forbidden Door isn't big enough, but then you're waiting for like a year. But also, Ospreay has done so well, like, he doesn't need the championship. And if Hangman became champion again, there's so many people that he could have great feuds with. I would just, you know, take
a lot of stones Moxley left unturned from Hangman's title.
And Hangman has his lifelong storyline with Swerve that can always be thrown in anywhere to heat things up. And we're in a company with Kenny Omega again. And, you know, there's just so many people that and one day Jay White will be back. I promise.
Throw him in the mix too. No. Yeah. But yeah. You mentioned at the top, like, I think we're definitely more positive on AEW this year. And I think it's because that the right people, again, outside of the Moxley stuff, are in the right positions. And the fact that they made this distinctly told you on Dynamite, they're going on last. This is the most important match in the show, because it's not anything in the arena nonsense. What this is a match for the I know they do it a lot, but for the fight for the future of AEW, for who is going to be the next guy for the two main characters to go one-on-one in the highest stakes match possible, because the winner gets a title shot at All In. So whatever happens at All In, who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind by then on whether one of these could beat Moxley. But for right now, this is the perfect main event for this show. They've done the perfect job building it up, and I would be happy with either direction. I would be happy with Hangman talking me into in winning it All In. I would happy with Ospreay changing my mind and talking me into winning it All In. They can both do that job. They've both made the compelling case for it, and the match is going to be fantastic too. This is the AEW we all want, and it's great to see it center stage.
Yeah, if I had to put a bet on it, I think I would go Hangman. But I think one thing I'm certain of is it's going to be an incredible match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We should bet on the star rating. We should be offering odds on that. 4.7.
Oh, I think Dave will go, but well, you know how I feel.
They'll go for five.
You know how I feel about Dave's ratings now. Mm. You know, they're ridiculous.
If only there was an app for that. Not anymore.
I know. I think 4.75 maybe.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's fair.
Yeah. No, I was going to say something mean, but I won't. I've held back. I'm growing. All right. Beto.
Get away, Caligal.
My camera has died, so that's time to end the show, really. But we got through everything. And I'm glad we could talk about an AEW show that we feel, you know, positive on. And it's going to be a good watch. I wish we could watch it together, but you're on the other side of the world watching it with your breakfast, which I think I would enjoy a lot more than watching it at 1 a.m.
I should say as well, yeah, just because I mentioned the Mackey's breakfast before, promise you when this recording is finished, I'm heading out for the best chicken and fried rice you can get in Bangkok. Yes. There's some incredible street stores here. Maybe I'll throw some McDonald's beef noodle soup in there as well. but on a pay-per-view morning, I don't know. Yeah, usually on a pay-per-view, I would get a pizza in or something like that at home. I'll have to think of what my breakfast snacks are going to be on Monday morning. But I'm sure we'll still find a way. And obviously, yeah, we'll be on the same continent again together soon.
Well, Benno, tell everyone where they can find you. I recommend people following you on Instagram, though, so they can see all the pictures of the wonderful food that you have in Thailand. But for the more business side, let everyone know where they can find you.
Well, yeah, if anybody is in Thailand, everyone's going to that Setup Pro Wrestling show next Saturday night, let me know. I'll be there. Say hello if you are there. Or if there is anywhere that anybody goes and watches wrestling in Bangkok or Vietnam, where I'll be in soon, let me know. But yeah, for me, at GrapplePod on Twitter, for when we're active, for when the website is up. Outside of that, just search Grapple Noe, like on the hat. Everywhere podcasts are sold. We have a YouTube channel where we put our podcast up every week, where we talk the full world of wrestling on Spotlight. We have a Patreon, and we'll be going to even more weekend previews, bonus retro shows, all stuff like that as well. But yeah, put Grapple into any search engine, you'll find us. We're doing great stuff this year, and hopefully it'll get bigger and bigger. So yeah, we'd love you all to be along the ride with us. And I should mention myself and Michael Hamflett. You mentioned What Culture a couple of times there. Mm-hmm. We do a podcast called Benno and Hamflett In Your House, where we're reviewing all of the In Your House pay-per-views from the WWF non-boom period in 1995, 1996, and 1997 and 98 when we get to season two. So yeah, you can watch along with that. Just search Benno and Hamflett In Your House, or just search In Your House on YouTube. There's not that many In Your House podcasts. There might be a reason for that, but we're having a great time.
And what's your Instagram, or do you not want to give it out?
At Benson Richard, yeah, I'll take any followers. Always accept. You'll usually get a follow back as well.
Well, don't view his story if you're hungry, guys, because the food is so good.
It's been great stuff. Got a lovely Tao bin there. Best coffee in Thailand. Not really. There's better, but great stuff. Oh, yeah, nice. You'll see it all there. Or on my Twitter. I'm at Benson Richard over there too.
Well, you can find me on X at Stephanie M. Chias, and on Substack, Stephanie Chias as well. And I will be back for Money in the Bank is the next big pay-per-view. Yes. Next month, Money in the Bank. Pardon?
It never stops.
It never stops. And I will see you then. And thank you so much, guys, for watching. Thank you to betonline.ag. And thank you, Benno. And I will catch you next time. Bye.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.